All right. Hello, everyone. I'm just kind of getting it together today. Just dried my hair. And how is everybody doing? My gosh, I hadn't done one of these calls in so long. All right. So let me get all set up here. Let me look at my list of participants. And Nina, I know you are one of them and you have raised your hand. Like a good coachee. So we'll get you up first. Let me see who the other people are. Let's see. There we go. We've got Nina Cullen. We've got Deanna Meyer. Okay, Deanna. Yep, you've raised your hand. And then we have Kelly Bennett. Good morning. Good morning. Y'all say good morning in the chat. Let me know where you're from. I always love that. That's my favorite thing to do. Okay. So, Nina, let's talk about that dinner time. I'll bring you on. Hey there. Hold on a minute. Let me make sure. Let's see. I can't hear you, so hold on just a second. Let me get you to unmute. Okay, there you are.
Can you hear me now? Hi, yes. How are you? Yes.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm excited to be first.
Yes, get it out of the way, right?
Yeah, I can get going on my meal prep for the week and my laundry and all that great stuff. So I think what I want to talk about and what I put in initially is that I do well all day long until the evening. That's when I struggle the most because I really am on plan all day. I don't even really have any problems with overeats or off-plan eats. It's just when I get home in the evening, it seems to be the time that I just get home and I just do my dinner as planned. And then after that, there's some snacking that occurs. And this is kind of a newer thing for me. And I do think I know what's causing it. I'm a photographer on the side, and fall is a big photographer season. We do a lot of family pictures. And so what I've been doing is kind of burning the candle a little bit at both ends where I'm working full time and then I come home and then I know I have that editing to do. And so it's daunting. And then I find that food is, you know, I stay downstairs, I'm editing late, I'm eating, I'm going into the cupboard, you know, I'm doing an edit and like, oh, I can feel like, God, is the client going to like this? Or, oh, I still have so much to do. And I get overwhelmed and I just go find some food to comfort me. So I know what's occurring. I know what's happening, but it's really, really made an impact on my progress. So I'd love to get a handle on it.
So why do you do this photography stuff?
Well, it is my passion. I love it. And I do it, it's pretty seasonal for me for the most part. I mean, I do shoot throughout the year, but in the fall is kind of like my big time because all of my regular families come back out and I love it. I really do. It's not something I'm willing to give up. I just don't know that I found the right balance of how much of it to do.
Well, but you're also calling it burning the candle at both ends.
Yes, it's true. I am.
That's a thought, right? That's a probably not real helpful, right? Yeah. You're choosing this, right? Mm-hmm. You're choosing to do something that you're passionate about. It's not a, you know, it's not some sort of burden that anyone has placed on you, right?
No, it's not like I need the money or it's like, oh my God, it's so I can feed my kids, you know, like vacation money. So it's really not that. I mean, and I'm so grateful for it, but I think what I'm trying to get a handle on is the eating that occurs.
But you're eating because you're thinking, I'm burning the candle at both ends. I don't know how to balance this. That's what's, right. I mean, that's the thought that's leading to the eating, right?
It is. It is. Yeah.
So how do you feel when you think I'm burning the candle at both ends? Let's do it. Let's do the model here real quick.
Okay. Here comes the board.
This is here comes the board. Getting serious now. Okay. Let me get this purple one. Okay. So, let's see. I'm burning the candle at both ends. How does that feel?
Not great. It makes me feel overwhelmed for sure.
at both ends. But let's also, I think for this, it's also important to get the circumstance real, like, clear. And so you have a photography business on the side. What do you do during the day?
I'm a marketing director.
Okay. So marketing director and photography business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when you feel overwhelmed, what are you doing or not doing?
What am I doing? Definitely I'm having a lot of thoughts,
mm-hmm.
and the thoughts start to make me feel a little uncomfortable. So I go and I try to get food so that I can start to kind of, I don't know, it's almost like I'm medicating with food in some ways, you know,
yeah.
Like I'm,
so what are those thoughts that other than I'm burning the candle at both ends?
Oh my God. I put too much on my plate. Mm-hmm. I have so much work to do. How am I going to get this done? I'm so tired. Oh my gosh, I'm hungry. Well, I'm not really hungry, but I'm going to go eat anyway.
So I don't hear any of those thoughts about how passionate you are about this work, about how you love it, about how you know, this is something you do so you can go back on vacation and you think about your vacations and all that kind of stuff, right?
No, it's all negative.
Yeah. Yeah. So of course you're eating, right? Because you know, you're feeling overwhelmed. So you overeat. Do you do anything else? Do you procrastinate? Do you?
I find myself doing something that is interesting. It's new for me in that typically I'm a pretty focused person, but I find myself bouncing around a lot, bouncing back and forth to like social media and then back to editing the pictures and then bouncing to, I'm going to go to a totally different person's gallery. Like I don't stay consistent. Yeah. I'm bouncing.
You're not focused, right? You're not focused on your work.
Yeah.
Okay. Because again, if you were thinking, oh my gosh, I love this. I'm so passionate about it. Mm-hmm. We're going to get to go on this vacation. I mean, it would be like, okay, time to get focused.
100%. That's actually a really good insight. I never thought about it like that, that I'm being so negative about it and it's creating all of this. I'm creating all of this in my head.
Right. Right. And then it's like you're a victim to your own choices.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's honestly like when I say it out loud, it's ridiculous because the other thing that I do is I like put these unrealistic deadlines on myself. Like I have people's galleries to them like within a couple of days. And mm-hmm. it's like, I don't need to do that. You know, I write into my contract that I give myself up to 3 weeks, but I just want to give them the pictures quickly. And I want to get it off my plate too.
Well, and that's okay. Right. But you just want to like your reason for doing that.
Exactly.
You know, it's great to over deliver and give them their pictures sooner than they expected. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
But it's because you want that to be coming from, I love my work. I want them to enjoy it as soon as they, but again, you don't want to, you know, I mean, that could even lead to maybe some resentment or something, you know, where it's just like, because I mean, you've given them this, you know, this time frame.
Yes.
And so it's just, you're putting these unwritten rules on yourself. And that's all coming from, you know, I'm, you know, this is happening to me. I'm a victim to this, all of that kind of stuff.
Well, and it's really interesting. I do need to sit with a thought around, oh my God, how lucky am I to be able to do this and work full time and have a supportive husband who takes care of the kids while I'm out shooting for 8 hours a day, you know? And how lucky am I that these people keep coming back year after year? Like they have a lot of options and a lot of choices, but they're coming to me, you know, and it's a good moneymaker. You know, it's like, there's so many benefits to this and I'm not focused on any of that. I'm focused on, oh my God, this is just like so much. And I'm just going to go eat like my face off.
Right. So it's just like reminding yourself of why you chose to do this in the first place. And I mean, sometimes it's like a, you know, daily reminder. Right.
Yeah.
I can get caught up in overwhelm with my work, you know, my PNP work. Right. And it's just like, I mean, how awesome is my job? Right.
Right.
But I've got to, you know, I have to remind myself of that too. Sometimes it's like we all do. It's not like our brain isn't designed to have that in the forefront of our mind. It's always looking for problems to solve. And so it's just going to scan your environment for problems, for ways that this was not a good idea and things like that. Right.
And so I do that too much.
Yeah.
I'm like, what was I thinking? Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I want you to write down, right? I want you to do some journaling and really write down like why you're choosing to do this, what's so amazing about it, why you feel so lucky, all that kind of stuff.
It's funny. I just did this Instagram post this morning, and because I try to keep up with my social media, and I put down like a picture of all 12 of the families that I've shot so far. And, you know, I was like 12 down, 10 to go. And I said, I'm not going to lie, this is exhausting, but how lucky am I to be a part of these families' journeys? And I just like, I really like, I said that, and I'm writing it, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, like this is a form of journaling in some ways. Like I'm telling my audience that, you know, I'm lucky. Like I get to watch these kids grow up. I get to watch these families grow and evolve. I get to document their journey. Yeah. Like, I'm writing all this, but it's like, am I believing it?
Right.
And I don't know that I am just right this second because I'm so caught in this overwhelm.
But also you're saying that you're lucky. And I mean, and saying you're lucky can be good, but sometimes that doesn't allow you to take ownership of what you actually built, what you've chosen to do, what you built, what you've worked really hard for.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, you're not lucky because it didn't just come along by chance, right? You created it and you give yourself credit for that, that you're fortunate that you, I mean, I don't know, maybe fortunate and lucky are the same thing, but it's just like, you worked for this. You created this. Own it. You know?
I did. And I am so proud of myself because it was hard to do it and work full time the entire time. Yeah. Like it's hard, you know? My peers don't do that. You know, they just do the photography piece, or they don't, you know, they have husbands at work or whatever. But I just knew that for me, I wanted to do it this way. And it's just better because I can make a lot more choices. Like I don't have to take every shoot, you know, it's not that I'm dependent on it. And I just enjoy it so much more. And so, yes, I think that just really finding the way, a way to journal around how grateful I am and kind of get stuck in that place more than the, oh my God, this is so much work, you know?
Right.
I chose this.
Yeah.
You're right.
It's all about gratitude. It's all about a feeling of abundance, you know, just like how amazing is it that I have all this stuff in my life that I have created as opposed to scarcity where it's just like, you know, burning the candle at both ends, like something's gonna, you know, you're waiting for the shoe to drop or whatever it is. And basically you create a shoe to drop by overeating, by not being focused on your work. If you keep believing that, you know, there's no way I can make all this work, then your brain goes to work on that and it's going to find a way for you to not work. Right. And so you have to practice that new thought. And so that your brain goes to work on that one of, okay, I'm working on believing that I can do all of this. And it's because I love it and I'm so grateful for it and all of that kind of stuff.
And now I'm, you know, and not to be focused on the scale, but it's, I'm up 4 pounds, right? Yeah. From where I was. And it's 100% because of kind of what I've been doing. Right.
Yeah.
And I understand the reason why, but it's hard for me not to be in a place where I'm feeling discouraged. Mm-hmm. And I need to like change and just go, listen, this is the bump in the road and you're going to come out of it now. Like, I just need to get to that place, but I'm not quite there right now.
Well, and it doesn't even have to be a bump in the road. It can be like, okay, I was supposed to gain 4 pounds because I was supposed to get, you know, refocused and realize that, okay, I can't be overeating at night, you know, and still lose weight. And so I've got to figure out, okay, I've got my full-time job, this job, and I'm also focusing on weight loss. Let's figure out how all this stuff works together. So it's just like, it was a gift to you to, I mean, you could absolutely see it as that and see it as this learning opportunity to figure this out and move forward.
Yes. No, that's a really good perspective. And I think I have a lot to think about today. And the nice thing is I'm not shooting today. It's a very lazy day for us. And I'm just going to really kind of just chill today, just relax and be with my thoughts.
Good, good. Well, perfect timing then. So
awesome. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Take care. See ya.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye. Okay, Deanna. Let's see. Ooh, this is an interesting one. If you still want to. Hey, Deanna.
Hi.
Let's see. Can't see you yet. There you are.
Hi.
Hi. All right. So you were asking about, you did your recovery worksheet and you kind of learned something interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's kind of, I think it's, so what happened was I, it's not totally unrelated to what Nina was saying, but I feel like there's a little bit of a difference. So I have, I'm pretty much on autopilot all day, like in terms of, and it kind of always have been, like the truth is, like, I really enjoy healthy food. I'm not a big junk food eater. I'm not a big binger. I'm not like any of those things, but I'm clearly like, I'm about probably 50 pounds overweight and mm-hmm. I've been, and have been for like 15 years or so. So what happens is like, I'm totally fine all day when I'm around, or even all weekend, if I'm like with my partner during the weekend, like totally fine. Like, but then as soon as he goes away, or if I'm at work and as soon as I come home, I have this, almost like rebellious side of me that like, kind of wants to get away with something. Mm-hmm. And so I start doing, and it's not just food. Like sometimes I'll overdrink, or sometimes I'll smoke cigarettes. Like I'm like a freaking teenager. Mm-hmm. And I do like stuff that I rarely overdrink in public. I never smoke in public. It's like I'm hiding out doing these things. And then also just food related, like I don't go crazy. It's not like I'm like eating a gallon of ice cream or something, but like I'll just order food that I know I just wouldn't be eating in front of right. other people. And so I just feel, and also kind of related to that, like I also tend to start okay with doing even the plans. And then I stop wanting to do those too. It's like I want to hide even from myself.
Okay. So let's, you said rebellious is one of the feelings, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think is the thought that's creating that feeling of rebellious? You said, you know, you talked about getting away with something. Why do you want to get away with something? What is it about that that appeals to you?
I'm not totally sure. I could have said, I recently, like in the last year, got out of a 26 year marriage. Mm-hmm. And I could have said when I was in that marriage, like I felt very controlled. Mm-hmm. And like a very, like my partner was very critical and I would have sort of blamed it on that. But, and that's not true, but I'm not in that anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually with somebody who's very not critical and kind and all of those things. So I'm not sure like what I'm trying to get away with. I think that there might be a little part of me that feels like I'm just going to try this thought on. I don't know if it's true.
Okay, yeah.
But there might be this part of me that feels like, I appear to be such a like good girl in a way, but in fact I'm not. And so I'm gonna, like that part of me needs to like get out, like when I'm, cause I've been so good all the time. Mm-hmm. So like maybe this own belief that, you know, you're not so good, you know, mm-hmm. like, I don't know.
Yeah. It's just something like, I just want to be bad.
Yeah.
I just want to be bad for a while.
Yeah.
Something like that, maybe. Let's just try this. But what's so interesting is that it's like what you're doing, like you think it's out of control, but it's really like your effort to be in control.
Yeah. No, and, that's really
and,
true.
And it's like, because I mean, a thought that I was just thinking, I just want to be bad. Like I just want to do what I want to do. You know, I just want to.
That actually feels more true.
Yeah, I just want to do what I want.
You don't get to be the boss over me. Yeah. Like I don't know who the you is.
Right, but, right. It's just like the air. You know. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, and it's totally. It's like rebellious because it's. oh no, rebellious seems out of control, but it's not. It's like your way to get in
taking control.
Taking control. Exactly.
I mean, that feels very true. It feels like, that's mm-hmm. actually it. More than I want to be bad. I feel bad about when I do those things. Like, I feel like, God, you're such a loser.
But that's after the fact, right? I mean, that.
Yeah, but leading into it. It's like, I can do this because I fucking want to do this. Yeah. That's why. Like, yeah. And yeah, no, yeah. I think that is it.
And so it's overeat.
But it's over everything.
But yeah, like what else is it besides overeat?
Overdrink, smoke.
Okay, that's right. Yeah. Smoke. Okay. But and really kind of where the self-judgment comes in is that you label all of this stuff as bad.
Yeah.
Right? It's just choices.
So funny. Yesterday I made this really positive choice. I bought a bike recently and I'm a pretty active, it's like this whole thing is such an enigma to me because I hop on my bike. I wanted to go see this musical. Nobody wanted to go with me. So I rode a 20-mile round trip bike trip to go see this musical by myself. And I was like feeling all bad about it. Like in a good way, badass about it. Like, and then I came home and like smoked cigarettes. Like what? Like, what are you doing?
Well, I think, like I said, I think before you move forward, it's a matter of like not judging your choices. Like you made two choices that day. You chose to ride your bike to the place and back, and you chose to smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And those were like two just choices, not good or bad, just choices. And I think for you, I almost think, because I can kind of relate to what you're saying, because I came out of a very long-term relationship years ago. And I had a time where it was like, I can do whatever I want to do. But it's like, and so I think for you, it's just like, you can, right? You can do whatever you want. And it's just not beating yourself up. Cause I mean, I don't think you're where you can change yet, because you got to quit judging your choices as good or bad. Now, why are you crying?
I just think, cause it feels really true. Like the thing that, you know, like even in the relationship that I'm in, like he's such a good person and like, but I'm not willing to commit. And I'm just, and what I'm able to say to him is like, I'm just not ready to, like, I need to make every choice I can make right now, like by myself, for myself. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I spent half my life in a relationship where I had to fight for that every single day. And I just don't, like, I have to be able to, like, just completely own my life and my choices.
Yes.
And I still think, like, I think that's the heart of it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why there's this push-pull. Like, I don't really think about this when I'm at work. I don't really think about it when I'm, you know, spending a weekend with Peter. Like, it feels pretty easy. But then it's almost like as soon as I break from that, like, I have this flood of, like, need to, like, make all the choices. And I don't know why sometimes they're bad ones, you know.
But what if they weren't? What if they weren't good or bad?
Well, but they are. I mean, like, smoking's a bad decision.
Well, but
it's a bad choice.
But when you're thinking of it as bad, you're not owning it, right? You're like, you're just wanting to stop it. And I just think you're at a place where you've got to just own what you're doing. Now, I'm not saying you got to go out and smoke a bunch, but it's just thinking about what you've done in the past. Because, I mean, I think about, like, when I was, you know, the single time and I went out and all made all these choices too with, you know, different, you know, guys and all this kind of stuff. And I came to a place now where it was like, okay, I made a bunch of choices. But that is part of your, journey, Deanna, is for you to own, when you own, truly own your choices, you're not judging them as good or bad. Mm-hmm. I just want you to kind of open yourself up to that. Not necessarily agree with me right now, but just what if smoking was just a choice? Drinking was just a choice. Biking 20 miles was just a choice. If they all just fell into this one category and they were all okay. Now, some of them get you results if you think about the model, right? Some of them get you results that you want and some of them get you results you don't want. But the choice itself is totally neutral. Like we could put smoking up here. It's just you smoked yesterday or whatever it was, right? That's just part of your past. It's a totally neutral thing until you have a judgment about it.
Like as I kind of open myself up and accept my choices, I'll feel more free to let go of choices that don't serve me and like freely choose the choices that do.
Because right now you're like resisting.
I am.
You know? Yeah. And it's like, you can't change from resistance, right? You can't change from self-judgment or self-loathing, like hating yourself, just like with weight loss, right? You can't hate yourself on the way down the scale. You've got to move to some sort of acceptance of where you are now, or you're not gonna, you know, you may lose the weight through white knuckling down, but then when you see 150 pounds or whatever it is on the scale, you're going to find something else to not like about yourself. You're going to see blue skin, or you're going to see whatever it is, right?
Well, and I feel like even each of these days are just little mini pendulum swings. It's like, even if I'm not conscious of it, like I think I am sort of somewhat resistantly going through the emotions during the day. Mm-hmm. And then the pendulum just swings back the other way. When I'm alone.
Yeah. And I want you to know that's totally normal, right? Because I think you're making that mean like something's gone wrong. But I mean, like if you're at work and you're just really focused at work and, you know, autopilot and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, when you're enjoying yourself with your man and all that kind of stuff, then you're focused on him. So of course, when you get alone or when you get out of these focus times, that's of course when you're going to have urges.
Okay.
Right.
Do you have recommendations for like worksheets or readings or videos that I could use?
Well, definitely. You said you've been doing your recovery worksheets.
I did one.
You did one.
I wrote to you about.
Okay. Keep doing them.
But I even do them around like smoking and stuff.
Yes. That's a great idea. Great idea. Because what you're doing, what the worksheets can do, what they can teach you, and you can think about, you know, you can think about past times too now, is that, you know, is recognizing patterns, right? Recognizing like, okay, what happens when I get off work and I'm, you know, going home, or kind of give me a typical situation.
Like I'll go to work and I'll come home and like, honestly, it's not even a blip on my screen. I don't think about it at all. And then I'll sit down and I don't know, it sort of settles in for me maybe around, you guys called it the witching hour, like 7 or 8 o'clock, when it's like too early to go to bed. But I'm also facing this night just like, some of it is I just need to learn how to be with myself.
Yeah.
Like I'm really fine when I'm with other people, and I'm fine when I'm with, you know, friends or whatever. Although I just moved here, so I don't really have that many friends here yet, but like I'm fine when I'm in those situations. No one would ever guess that I feel any of this stuff. And then I come home and it's like suddenly I'm like just here with myself, and I don't know how to be with myself like that. And so then I'm like, that's when I'm like, drinking works. Like if you drink, you don't have to
you don't have to feel this. And it's not really, it doesn't tend to be eating for me. Like eating isn't what, that doesn't soothe me in that way. And then I don't really know what the smoking does. It doesn't really, I don't even know what it does. Like it's just keeps me busy, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
I mean, I know, you know, I've smoked here and there in the past, and I know, I mean, it gives you a little hit of something, right? It gives you a little hit of relaxation, or, you know, little hit of dopamine or whatever it is. I mean, those are just all, you know, buffers from you feeling loneliness or feeling just vulnerable being by yourself, all that kind of stuff. And so for you, it's a matter of, okay, that's my pattern. I mean, you're pretty aware of your pattern.
Uh-huh.
And okay, what can I do in the evenings to practice being with myself in a, you know, in a healthier way?
Uh-huh.
And does anything kind of pop into your head?
Yeah. I mean, like I really love my new bike, and I was like, you know, it's not going to help me at 8 o'clock because I'm not going to go out biking at 8 o'clock at night by myself, but you know, I could come home from work and go for a bike ride. I don't know. There is something about like just getting a little bit of those endorphins going that might carry me through a little bit longer. I used to journal. I don't anymore because like I'm just kind of bored with myself. And I mean,
I think you need to start journaling and like get to know, like, I'm bored with myself. That's an interesting thought, right? Why do you think you're bored with yourself?
I mean, I am even right now, and I'm feeling conscious of like everybody else being bored with listening to me. It's like, yeah.
No, I will tell you that you opening up like this, there's so many people that are going to benefit from this call.
Okay.
I mean, I'm as a coach and people who ask questions and ask coaches and coach other people, this is so something that will benefit so many people.
Okay. Well, I used to do this thing called morning pages.
Yeah.
And like, that's the most beneficial to me. Just like sit down and just write for 3 or 5 pages without you know, you always end up someplace that you're like, oh, mm-hmm. like didn't know that was going on. So mm-hmm. I guess I could get back to that. And, you know, sometimes it's just as simple as like find a funny comedian and just sit down and have a good laugh. Like that actually is a good anecdote to me sometimes.
I mean, it's just like, it's not like you've even got to, you know, learn about yourself necessarily. I mean, just watch a TV show, right, that you really enjoy, or a movie, or take a bath, or some sort of self-care that, you know, and this is explained more in the Urges and Buffering course. There's a 5-step process that Corinne goes through about, allowing urges. And that's exactly what this is, right? You just have at 8 o'clock, you know, the thoughts come, right?
Uh-huh.
And you have an urge to smoke or to drink or whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, this rebellious comes in, and then it's like, okay, time to do these activities. Mm-hmm. And, but she talks about that. She talks about like, you know, not talking back to the, you know, the urge or talking back to the thoughts. It's just, okay, I'm just going to sit here and do something that really feels good to me. Like feels like self-care, feels like something I enjoy. That's not, you know, these buffers, but that is just, you know, taking a bath or watching a show or something like that, that just is something that you want to do that doesn't have those negative consequences.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Again, I'm glad you got on. So keep in touch with us. All right.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay, y'all. Sorry. I got to plug in my computer real quick. About to die. Oh. Okay, Kelly Bennett, are you on here? Because you're my last person to get coached. There we go. There's Kelly. Okay.
Mute. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm new to this. This is my first time.
You made it. I'm so glad. Hey. And I had like all three of my people show up. So I'm so, so happy and so proud of you guys for doing it anyway.
Yes. So.
All right. Are those all your medals back there?
Yeah. I haven't been running late. I was supposed to run a half marathon today, and I was actually going through the 9+1 for the New York Marathon, and I gained back pretty much all of my weight, and running has become really hard. And sorry, all the calls before, I wasn't this emotional when this all started, and I was listening to everyone talk, and I'm like, God, I always feel like I'm the only person that has my story, and then yeah. I hear like, people talk, and I'm like, oh, maybe not.
Yeah, everybody thinks they're the unicorn, and then you start hearing a few calls, and it's like, oh, okay, I'm not the only one, but that's good news, right? Because you
all just
learn from each other and support each other. But it sounds like you have an amazing, compelling reason, right, to lose weight.
Yeah,
you want to get back to running.
Yeah. It's funny because I have a lot of reasons to lose weight. And then I always find myself asking, why am I doing this? Why do I really want this? And everything feels really complicated all the time. Mm. My husband and I own a music school. Mm-hmm. I started losing as a groupie, not January of 2018. And, I lost like 45 pounds. I was running all the time. My whole life was kind of revolving around losing weight. And then I took a year break from drinking, and then I decided to bring it back, start drinking again, because I was like, well, I'm not going to quit forever. I don't necessarily want to, I just decided to take a break, cause I was like, let me see what happens. Mm-hmm. Close to the end of the year, I ran the Philadelphia Marathon for my first marathon last year. Mm-hmm. And shortly after that time, I had this problem where voice teachers would keep quitting. It's been like probably one of the big issues that we've had, like kind of hiring and keeping voice teachers. And I just kind of like at that point, I just like freaked out and stopped doing everything. And I just like, I didn't plan anymore. I stopped running. And then, you know, I kind of like just had so much trouble getting my momentum back, because I just like basically freaked out about this problem in my business. And that happened last week as well with something else. Mm-hmm. I was humming along nice with no BS. And man, something happened with an event that I was asked to be a part of, which I formally like backed out of. And I'm, you know, it really didn't benefit me in any way. And, I just decided, you know, this isn't right for me, but I still haven't been able to like find that traction again. And I know I just have to start doing it and make that next best decision. But, I feel like still like I'm spinning out for like 5 days, freaking out about, cause it's people in my town, and, everything's getting very, public and not like pug, not like famous or anything, but, like everything feels very like, a lot of people will know when I make mistakes.
Yeah.
So yeah. I just like, I panicked, and I just like couldn't function anymore, because I was like, oh my God, everyone's going to know that I did these terrible things. Or not even terrible. It's actually not even that serious, but like I handled everything. So.
Okay. So you said no to this event, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So that's what the circumstance is. That's sure. A fact, right?
Well, I think the circumstance is more that I made a mistake
That's a thought.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, you made it. So you think saying no was a mistake?
No, I should have said no in the first place. I took something on that I thought would be beneficial, and it turned out not to be, and it was a lot more work.
Make that mean about you, that you should have said no in the first place, that you made a mistake?
What does that mean about me? Well, I do it all the time. I take on things that really I have no business doing. I have an entire business to run, and yet I decide, hey, I'm going to get involved with this event in town that I have no idea what's going on with. Mm-hmm.
And what do you make that what do you make that mean?
I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I just,
I don't know what I'm doing.
I have no idea what I'm doing.
Okay. That's really, I think, what's going, like, you know, what's sure. what your thought is, right? How does that yeah. feel? I don't know what I'm doing.
I feel like that right now. I feel like I just told you my life story. I don't know what I'm doing.
You're doing it. You're doing it right. So that's it. We don't tell you that very often, but you are coaching exactly right. So okay. you're answering my questions, you know, you're okay. trying your best to answer my questions. So how does that feel? I don't know what I'm doing.
Terrifying.
Okay. So, I mean, of course you're not getting any traction with weight loss or anything, right? I mean, if you're sitting around terrified.
Yeah.
And sitting around, you know, thinking about what other people are thinking about you.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
stuff, right?
I feel like I'm responsible for everything. And if I do any wrong thing, like, there will be so many people that are just disappointed yeah. in the end.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And I like that you put no there, because it's usually then I do nothing.
I was going to say, okay.
I do nothing when I feel like this. I just stop everything in my life. Productive. It doesn't matter. I stop talking to my friends. I obsess and I just stop doing everything.
And so your result, this is a very clear model, because your result is, you know, you prove to yourself that you don't know what you're doing, like in any area of your life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like yeah.
Just, you know, it all shuts down.
Yeah.
And because when you keep thinking that, your brain goes to work. Oh, how can we not know what we're doing with our friends? How can we not know what we're doing with our dog or whatever it is, right?
It's yeah. just
every area of your life, with everything. I mean, yeah. you know, and not absolutely everything, right? But it's just like you start to, I mean, that brain just starts working like a computer, and it's just like, oh, we don't know what we're doing. Okay, let's just keep proving that thought true over and over again.
Yeah.
So.
And it's funny, because on the outside, like, I'm sure that people are like, you know, we opened a business 5 years ago and we went from 55 students to over 300. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I look very together, but I'm really not. Like, people, and I'm very afraid of people seeing that I don't have it together. And so I just, yeah. And I just go back to all those old habits of, well, let me just not plan and grab pizza, or let me just have, you know, a pint of ice cream late at night. And, you know, everything I do is kind of that secret. So I just, yeah.
So I want to go back to you saying about the school that you opened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what were those numbers again?
My husband and I started with about 55 students in 2014, mm-hmm. and now we're up just over 300.
Okay. That sounds like some evidence that you know what you're doing.
Yeah. sometimes I think it's just because, like, my husband's really on top of things, and, like, I've been lucky.
And I talked about luck with Nina, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, no, this music school did not just drop in your lap.
Yeah.
You probably worked your ass off for it.
Yeah, I work like 12-hour days most days.
Yes. And I mean, so. I'm not saying that's the best, you know, decision either.
Yeah.
But it's not luck, right?
Yeah.
I mean, luck is winning the lottery, right? You don't have to do anything to be lucky. I mean, this is accomplishment. This is, you worked hard and you reap the benefits. Yeah. And so, it's a matter, I mean, you know, I can tell you this all day, but, you know, but then your mind's like, no, we still don't know what we're doing. And so you have got to do the work where it is, okay, you know, how do I want to think about basically all the decisions in my life in terms mm-hmm. of, or just everything that's going on in my life? You know, I said no to this event in the time that I chose to do it. And that's what was best for me. Right. And so right. like, how do you want to think about that? How do you want to think about these teachers quitting? Right. Because you're making that mean, you know, that's more evidence for you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
And, you know, all this stuff, it's just like, okay, all this stuff, that's all these circumstances in your life, right? Mm-hmm. What do you want to practice thinking or making them mean in the future?
That it's, I guess the most productive thought would be that it's just kind of part of getting better at what I do and learning I guess I just, it's just part of it. Like, it's part of learning and it's part of getting better. And I know a lot more now than I did 5 years ago. And I'll know a lot more in 10 years than I know today. Mm-hmm. And I guess if I just wanted to stay exactly where I am, I don't have to have anything hard happen.
Right. So. Right. I mean, you know, I mean, it's like, it's part of owning a business, right? It's part of being maybe a kind of a public figure in my community. It's part of, I mean, but when you say it's part of, I mean, what is it, right? Is it like, you know, this, I have chosen to be, you know, to own a business. I've chosen to be a, you know, prominent member of the community. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I mean, it's just like what I was saying with Deanna. It's about owning your choice, and Nina. It's about owning your choices, right? And not being a victim to your own choices.
Right.
Right? I mean, it's like, and go back, and it's very similar to Nina, because, I mean, you know, it's like, go back and remind yourself why you wanted to start the school in the first place. Right. And go back, and because, I mean, our brain, I think about when I first started with PNP, I don't even remember when that was. I don't even remember when I started like getting a paycheck. I mean, our brain does not, you know, it just files that away and just shuts the file cabinet door and locks it. It's like, yeah, our brain is just not gonna naturally remember all that stuff. So I like to go back and like look at, you know, old planners and old calendars and all that kind of stuff. You have to, you know, intentionally remind yourself of all this stuff and how far you've come, and just, you know, remind yourself that, okay, this is, you know, this is part of the deal. All this stuff is part of the deal, and people can think what they want, right? I mean, it's like, that is, you know, people pleasing is a whole nother thing, where it's just, you know, or you're somewhat familiar with the model.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I mean, and I've watched
whatever they think, that's their model. Yeah. Right.
Right.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's, you know, whatever you do is a circumstance, right? And they have a thought that, you know, they have a thought about it. That's their model, and it's best just to stay out of it.
Right.
And, so let's finish this out here for your intentional model. So, I mean, and we can have the circumstance of, you know, of this choice you made to say no, just everything, you know, anything that's kind of going on, kind of an overall thought that you can start practicing.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess, that thought is that things are going to happen, and then I can choose how I deal with it. Yeah. And I guess,
yeah, like I always get to choose. I always get to choose, maybe.
Okay.
And you can do some journaling, right? And kind of come up with some other things, but it's just, okay. So how does that feel? I always get to choose.
Like, I'm going to have to remember it the next time something happens.
I mean, yeah, it's like, I mean, and this thought work, you know, it doesn't automatically happen, right? You got to put it in your phone, put it on sticky notes. It's practice, right?
So these are things that happen on like a weekly basis. Yeah. They happen when I'm like humming along and things are great, and all of a sudden explosion, and which is probably too dramatic to think about it anyway, which brings me to that. I'm making everything over dramatic.
Right. Like calling an explosion is a thought, right?
Yeah.
It's just something that happens. It's just somebody quits, or somebody says something, or you say no. I
handle something differently than I would have liked to in hindsight, you know, and that's still a thought.
Right.
But I handled it this way. This is what I chose to do in that moment.
This is what I chose to do.
And I always get to choose. And I guess that there is a feeling of like, okay, I have to be really responsible. Like, I'm very responsible for my choices then, which makes me think more carefully about the decisions I make and how they'll affect other people. And then my results are that I don't turn it into a giant catastrophe and then just lose my mind about everything.
What was the feeling?
Responsible.
Responsible. Okay.
I feel a little bit more responsible.
Also for you, I mean, I think there needs to be some sort of kind of compassionate, like, it might be compassion. I don't know, because I mean, responsible is, I mean, it's kind of taking ownership, but it's also, I mean, you know, you want to let go of the judgment, right? It's like, if you're choosing what to do, this is what is best for me right now.
Right.
And so putting some, you know, compassion in there for yourself too.
That's always really hard, I think, for me to find compassion and choose compassion for myself.
That's another practice, right?
Yeah. And maybe that's where I need to kind of focus on, is just have compassion. Even like, and I feel like I actually did make a mistake in this last event that I, you know, was a part of. I was just freaking out because I thought that I also had just done everything terribly wrong. And I have some compassion, because if I do make a decision and it doesn't turn out perfectly, that I guess I have to have permission to do that. Because
like, or what if you just didn't call it a mistake? You just called it like a choice, and this is what happened, but you were not, you know, you did your best in the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, really, because it's just really being aware of like, okay, am I judging myself here? Because just calling it a mistake is judgment.
Right.
Right. And, you know, saying, well, in hindsight, I, you know, I should have done this, but that, you know, should, any shoulding is always self-judgment. So it's just recognizing like, okay, did I do my best in the moment?
Right. You know, I did try to think through that a bit. It was hard. It was hard when I was like in it. But I did, I guess there's like little tiny glimmers of that here and there, but
that's good. You know, that's good news though. I like to say like the door is cracked like that much, but that is progress, right? That is something. And again, it's just like I was saying with Deanna, where it's like, just open up your mind right now. If you're not, you know, quite there, quite buying it yet.
Right.
Just open up. You're like, okay, if I didn't have to make myself miserable, because I ask myself that a lot. What if I didn't have to make myself miserable today? What are my other options? And just to kind of even bring a little bit of humor into it, you know, and not be so serious, not be so hard on ourselves, put so much pressure on ourselves.
Yeah.
So, okay, so let's finish this out. So responsible, but also practicing some compassion. So what was your action?
That I probably would learn to kind of like take a little bit of a breath with the decisions I make and how I proceed with things.
Okay.
And not, it doesn't have all of my, you know, I guess the action is that I make decisions without making it mean the world could come to an end at any moment.
Right.
You know, without drama.
Right.
I pause for a decision, but I don't add drama to them. I don't think that they're going to, you know, take down my business and make us lose our house or something.
Right. Right. Don't add drama when it's not.
Yeah.
You know, there. Of course, it's never there unless you put it there.
I did notice that a lot this time around. I was like, this is all in my mind. Yes. And knowing that was not that it was helpful in the moment, but it's helpful now. So
yeah.
But then I guess the result is that I can be more present and make the decisions I can without derailing the rest of my life. And I hate that word derail because it, again, is very dramatic.
Yeah.
Work that out of my vocabulary, but it without allowing me to make further choices that hurt my progress.
Right.
So your result is, you know, make choices that, you know, that are the best for me or something like that.
Right.
You know, the best that you can do in the moment.
Right.
So, okay. So for you, it's just like, you've got a ton of, you know, awareness of what's going on. You know, you're onto yourself, right? You know, yeah. You have these stories, this drama around stuff. And for you, it's just, again, being intentional, and that's where the journaling and, you know, or just talking. I talk to a friend on Marco Polo a lot, like just orally do stuff where it's just, that's, I mean, even just, you know, on the call here, you probably were able to hear yourself and really become more aware of kind of how you're, you know, how you're talking about things. And then, you know, just working on, okay, if I get to choose, if I always get to choose, what am I going to choose today, you know, to get the results I want.
Right.
So you're just right where you need to be.
Great.
You did great on the call. Do you have any other questions or anything?
I guess a quick one, if it's okay. Sure. I also went off of the pill, which could be part of the reason why I feel very emotional. But I actually I had my cycle, like it's been 90 days, and they're about to, you know, induce it. And and I think that when I'm in this, I want to get the testing done to see what my hormone imbalances are, because it's always been there. It's been something, I've been on the pills like on and off since I was like 13 years old. Because I have these really unpredictable cycles. And then when I'm not on the pill, everything on the scale is very unpredictable. And it's very disarming. And that was also kind of wedged itself into this week as well. I had a really spot on week, and then all of a sudden the scale was like up 0.2 pounds. And I was like, and you know, when I was a groupie and I lost 45 pounds, it was literally like, you know, like a very like slopey scale. Mm-hmm. It was very little gains and very like, okay, I'm just down, you know, 0.3 pounds. Oh, I'm down a pound. Oh, I'm down two. Okay. I'm down 0.3, but I'm still down. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, I could be up 6 pounds randomly, even though I'm like, everything's kind of on point. So I guess, that's more modeling.
Yeah. That sounds like more, you know, more drama. Right there, right? Where it's just like, okay, your body is figuring itself out with all these hormones. You know, you just said that, you know, when you get off the pill, that it's just, you know, and this is another opportunity for compassion, right? It's like, okay, my body is just kind of figuring itself out right now. I'm getting the help that I need. I'm going to get tested, all that kind of stuff. All this is going to figure itself out. Mm-hmm. But that's no reason to not just follow these four basics that I'll follow, right? I mean, it's just like, I mean, but you said you'd have been doing some overeating too. So if you're
since that point, I was just like, right. Whatever, you know.
And so that's probably why you gained 0.2 pounds.
Oh no, I actually had a really good week that week. I gained like 6 pounds in the week since then.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but.
Okay. Well, let's just say that, you know, the four basics can be a gift to you in terms of just like, okay, this is a steady thing. This is something I can do for my, you know, for my body, good for my body. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, you know, people have surgery or anything like that, where it's just like your body is kind of figuring itself out. It's kind of healing or whatever. And so one of the best things you can do is feed it fuel and, you know, drink your water, get your rest, all of that kind of stuff. And also lessen your thinking about what you're going to eat and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So just see it as like, that's, you know, that's a tool that you can use, and the scale will figure itself out in time. Right. Right? I mean, it's just like, maybe right now with everything that's going on, the scale is not the, you know, is just, it's not going to tell you really super accurate stuff because, yeah. you know, your body's just kind of figuring itself out and it's just like, okay, you know, I'm going to practice some compassion for yeah. myself during this time and don't overthink it. Right. Don't make it, you don't know what that means, that 6 pounds means, but you right. can just still do the 4 basics and yeah. you know, it'll all come out in the end.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, more modeling, more journaling, all that kind
less
of
drama.
Stuff. Yeah, less drama. Love it. Okay, this was great.
Thank you.
All right, you take care. Talk to you later. Okay, bye. All right, looks like there's a few questions here, and then we'll probably get out of here. Let's see. No, Brenda, it was just by appointment only today. I've experienced a lot of loss recently. It's awful now that I'm scared of losing my husband next or pre-deceasing him. I know this is stupid, but he's lost 30 pounds and looks amazing. I'm jealous of the accolades he gets. I'm all over the place with my thoughts and feelings, and I've been eating my feelings. Okay, this is from anonymous attendee. I want you to, you know, since you're all over the place with your thoughts and feelings first, I want you to just get all of them out, right? Right. Journal. Just get everything out about what you mean about this loss, what you mean that, all about why you're scared of losing your husband or you dying before him, what you think about your husband and his weight loss and all of this kind of stuff. And I mean, I can see a model kind of coming out right now with, you know, you're jealous and, but why are you jealous, right? What are you making it mean about you? First off, you're calling yourself stupid. So that doesn't help any, right? You're calling your thoughts stupid. But what are you making it mean about you that he's lost 30 pounds and looks amazing? Why are you jealous, right? And it's probably something like, well, I'm going to die before him. So I might as well just eat whatever I want, right? So it's just a matter of kind of getting all those thoughts out, figuring out what you can put into the model and just do what you can and then post and ask coaches. And we'd love to work with you on that. So, but when I hear myself say I'm all over the place, that's a thought that I definitely will say sometimes. It's like, ding, ding, need to sit down and do some journaling, get all these thoughts out. Okay. Lenora, September baby. I've been planning really well, but I have problems journaling. What can I do to get more into journaling? Also, I've not started doing the assessments, the download, et cetera. I'll do them eventually, but I don't feel ready yet. First, I want you to do some journaling I want you to ask yourself, why don't I feel ready yet to do the assessments and the download and, you know, model? I think you're probably talking about the model. Why do I not feel ready? So that's one thing that you can journal on that would be amazing for you to kind of uncover. And then for those of you all, so this is in the planner, but it's also, these pages are available to print out on the website, is journal. Let me get the Q&A out of my face. Okay. The journal prompts, which is just a list of basically things to ask yourself to just get your brain going and journaling. So, loving my body looks like this every day. One of my deepest fears is, I give myself permission to, that's a good one. I wish I understood why I blank. So, I mean, it's just, oh my gosh, you could just, you know, close your eyes and pick one. And you would have some amazing things to journal about every day. So I absolutely recommend the suggested journal prompts at the beginning of the planner. I will post a link to where they are on the website to print out if you don't have the planner. And let's see, journal prompts. Yeah, so it's amazing. Okay. Misty, I planned an overeat kind of sort of yesterday. Interesting. I assumed I would not be hungry after dinner, but added ice cream to my plan because I've been wanting it for a few days. Aunt Flo's in town. during dinner, I told myself I did not have to eat the whole thing. But before I knew it, I was at my plus two. I decided to go get the ice cream anyway. One scoop in a bowl. Is this an urge? What do we do when we want to plan a dessert on our 24-hour plan? Okay. So yes, you had an urge. You were at your plus two, but you still had an urge for the ice cream. And then you responded to the urge with eating ice cream. And so, yes, you had an urge and you responded to it with food. If you want to plan a dessert on your 24-hour plan, you can absolutely plan it as an exception. And so exceptions are explained in module 2 of No BS, the fueling your body module. So go back and review that lesson. And then, I mean, you can also, and exceptions or not, you always want to be following your hunger scale, right? You had an urge to just eat more dinner to your plus two as well, right? You had several urges. You knew that you wanted to have ice cream, but you kept eating your dinner because you had an urge to keep eating your dinner. And then, so you were already at plus two, and then you had another urge for ice cream because you had planned it and because you wanted it. And so you ate the ice cream. And so the taking control module in OBS, the one that we just finished this last week, that we focused on this last week, is all about how to allow urges rather than give in to them, rather than resist them, rather than avoid them. You want to allow them. And so what allowing urges for you would have been that, okay, you heard yourself say, I don't have to eat all of dinner, right? You heard yourself say that, but you probably said, but I want it anyway. And so allowing an urge means that you hear that come into your mind. You know what? I really want to keep eating this. It's really good. I don't want to stop. But then when you allow it, you say, but I'm going to stop anyway. I'm going to sit here with some discomfort because I planned that ice cream, right? And I don't want to get to my plus two with dinner. I want to still have this ice cream. So you had a good reason, right, to allow the urge. And so allowing the urge is all about talking very calmly to yourself. It's not about fighting or resisting. It's about allowing discomfort and not eating anyway. So, and it's a practice, right? And all of that is explained in module 5. So. Yes, Misty, go back and listen. Specifically, the urges and desires lesson is really good. So it's all good. But yeah, I want you to go back and listen to that urges and desires because it talks about kind of the brain science and the biology behind urges and desires. It's so good. So you go back and listen to that. Yeah, definitely a few more times. I just finished the excuses and justifications lesson, and then also the competing priorities lesson today. I just realized I hadn't listened to that in probably at least over a year. And I just heard things that I just needed to hear today. And I just heard, some things that I refer to when I'm coaching and stuff. I realized, oh my gosh, that's where I heard that, that's where I learned that. And so it was just great to go back and just realize where I am now in a different place and how, I wanted to receive it and learn it this time around and apply it to my life. So I highly recommend all of you to go back and revisit No BS multiple times because you're always at a different place when you hear one of the lessons. So. All right, guys, I think that is it. Let me look through the chat real quick. Yes, that handling the holidays course is amazing. We're actually going to all be going through that starting in just a few weeks in the 1st of November. And but y'all can go ahead and crack it open now if you want to for that Halloween candy that's coming up in just a couple of weeks. But for the next few weeks, so this coming week is the Hunger Scale Challenge week, one of my favorites. I love, love, love Hunger Scale Challenge. It just really opens up your mind and your eyes to really what hunger is all about, how much hunger we can really handle, and that hunger is not an emergency, and all this kind of stuff. Actually, one of the lessons that I was listening to this morning from Taking Control, Corinne was like, you know, she was talking about the olden days when people would only eat, you know, when they were working out in the farms and stuff, they would only eat like once a day. And she said, they would laugh you out of the farmhouse if you said, but I'm hungry, I need to eat now. Because, yeah, they would laugh you out of the farmhouse because that's just not the way it goes, right? We can allow some hunger and we'll be okay. And that's what this week is about. It's just about being really curious about our hunger and our hunger signals and just processing it, keeping a lot of data, and just seeing what, you know, what you can learn from your hunger this week. So, I mean, and we're not going to starve you out by any means. We're just going to give you a few little challenges throughout the week to maybe wait a little bit longer before you eat, to maybe eat a little bit less and see how you feel, and all that kind of stuff. It's not anything extreme. It's just something to really get you curious about your hunger. So, Deanna, what do you mean when you say we're all going to go through this together? That's a good question. So for handling the holidays, starting in November, we like the Monday night lessons that Corinne is doing, she'll be going over handling the holidays. And then I think the next week it's all already on the calendar on the website. So y'all can look it up. Y'all can look up the every Monday night at 6:00. She will do, you know, some sort of lesson or coaching session that has to do with the work that we're doing, you know, that we're focusing on that month. And again, it's just an option for you to go along with us and do it. You can absolutely focus on OBS. You can just focus on the four basics. But for, you know, anyone who wants to do a little bit more, then you can do that handling the holidays with us. And then you can do the stuff that we're going to do for the next few weeks to wrap up No BS. We're doing Hunger Scale Challenge this week. We're going to do Realistic Planning next week or the next week. And then On the Clock Week, which is all about, again, being really curious about your hunger. And what we mean by on the clock is that when you feel the first kind of whispers of hunger, you're on the clock and you commit to allowing like 30 minutes or an hour to not eat, and you drink some water, and then you just stay really curious about your hunger and figure out if you're really hungry or not. And so that's what on the clock is all about. So it's just an exciting few weeks coming up. All right, y'all. And so just for what's going on the rest of this week. Okay, let's see. We've got coaching with Corinne. Let's see. There it is. I had the wrong week up. Coaching with Corinne on the Hunger Scale tomorrow night. And that's that's open coaching. So that's you just come on and raise your hand. So it's just like office hours, not by appointment. So you can get coached by Corinne specifically on hunger scale only stuff tomorrow night. And then Tuesday night at 6:00, from 6 to 8 p.m., Coach Kathy will be doing office hours as always. And so if you want to get on, raise your hand there as well. And then let's see, what else is going on this week? Let's see. We are going to be, the team is headed out to do a little professional development out in San Diego for the rest of the week. So, but we're not leaving you guys. We'll be checking in all throughout the latter part of next week with the Hunger Scale challenges and all that different stuff. So, and then let's see, we'll be back at it the next Monday. So, all right, guys, if I think that's all I've got. So y'all have a great rest of your Sunday. And Corinne will be back on here tomorrow evening to talk all about and do coaching on the hunger scale. All right, guys. Talk to you later. Bye.